Going to be back in the Old Testament once again. We were there this morning, looking back there tonight. And we're going to be in a different book, though, being 2 Chronicles chapter 25 this evening. And if the Lord will help me, I want to preach all that God's laid on my heart. But as many of you can tell, and of course many of you already know, been fighting a cold this past week and been fighting some sinus problems and things. And after this morning, my voice is already starting to go tonight, so I might start getting kind of grumbly. Don't anybody get thinking I'm angry with you or I'm growling at you. It's just my voice going out on me. But I do require your prayers. I need your prayers tonight, and I hope you'll do that as I try to preach the Word of God. But here in 2 Chronicles 25, we're looking here at the reign of King Amaziah. And King Amaziah was one of the many kings of the kingdom of Judah back here in the Old Testament. And he was the son of a man by the name of Josiah, Joash. I said the wrong name. He was the son of a man by the name of Joash. Now, Joash was one of those men that you would have really thought had everything going for him for serving the Lord. Joash was raised literally in the temple. He was raised by the priests. And you would think to yourself, surely a man like Joash, who was raised under such godly conditions, who was raised around all the things of God, surely he would turn out to live the Lord, to serve the Lord with his life. And sure enough, for a time, Joash did just that. But there came a day, as Joash grew old, and as the priests died and began to go away, there came a time in the life of Joash where he stopped living for the Lord. He started making decisions and started making choices that went against God and against His Word. And as a result of that, God sent destruction to the kingdom of Joash. He allowed them to lose the battle to a much lesser foe than themselves. And after the battle was over, Joash, his own servants, actually conspired against him and assassinated Joash. And so having Joash having died, his son Amaziah has now come to the throne. And at the age of 25 years old, Amaziah is now the king over the people of Judah. Now I want you to see what took place there in verse number 5 regarding the ministry and the work of Joash as king. And the Bible says in verse number 5, "Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, 'O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down.' And Amaziah said to the man of God, 'But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?' And the man of God answered, 'The Lord is able to give thee much more than this.' Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, and went to the Valley of Salt, and he smote of the children of Seir 10,000. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand and preach the Word of God. I pray now, Lord, that you would sustain my voice. Help my lungs and my air tonight be able to get the message out that you've given me to preach. Lord, I don't want to be the minister. I don't want to be the one doing the work. Lord, I've tried to do that before, and I've failed many a time. Lord, I need you to do a perfect work here in our midst. I need you to do the preaching and to do the ministering. I need you to speak to every heart that's gathered here tonight. Lord, help me guide my thoughts and guide my words that I might only preach those things that would be well-pleasing in thy sight. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us understanding, enlighten us, teach us, and guide us here in the Word of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen and amen. As we find Amaziah here in verse 5, he has come to a place within his reign as the king of Judah where he sees war on the horizon. By the way, I believe a nation ought to do everything they can possibly do to avoid war. But when the time finally comes, can I just go ahead and say tonight that there are certain situations you cannot avoid. There are sometimes certain enemies out there in the world that must be fought against. Amen. And I believe what took place here is I believe Amaziah saw that the kingdom of Seir was coming against him. He saw that they were building their army and building their forces, and he did exactly what a great general or what a great king must do in such situations. He began to go forth throughout all the kingdom of Judah, and he began to gather his own army. And sure enough, the Bible tells us right there in our text that within just a short time, he had gathered together 300,000 choice men out of Judah. That means not just any ordinary men, not just your everyday foot soldier. No, these were the best of the best. These were men who had experience in the battle, men who had carried sword and shield and spear, and they knew how to use them. Man, that's a pretty good army, isn't it? 300,000 men. But you know what Amaziah got to doing? Amaziah got to thinking to himself, maybe 300,000 is not enough. Maybe I just need a few more if I'm going to defeat the kingdom of Seir. And so old Amaziah went down to the treasure house, and he got down there with the treasures, and he said, "Sirs, I need you to deliver up 100 talents of silver. And we're going to go up there to the king of Israel." Of course, Israel were those northern tribes who had already departed from the worship of the true and living God. And he went up to that old wicked kingdom of Israel and that wicked king of Israel. And he said to him, "I'll deliver you these 100 talents of silver if you'll send me 100,000 of your best and mightiest men to help me fight the battle." Now, can I go ahead and say tonight that from an earthly standpoint, that seemed like a good military strategy, didn't it? Amen? I mean, listen, I like what old Nathan Bedford Forrest said years ago. They asked him what the key to winning a battle was, and he said, "I believe in getting there the firstest with the mostest." Amen? You get there first to the battlefield and you have the most men, you're probably going to win that battle. Amen? And that's exactly what Amaziah was doing here. He said, "Listen, we're going to get ahead of these men of Seir. We're going to get ahead of them, and we're going to build a bigger army than they've got, and we need the kingdom of Israel to help us if we're going to get the job done." But about that time, a man of God came by Amaziah's way. Can I say tonight, I'm thankful for the man of God and the men of God in my life who have come by and told me I was wrong from time to time. Amen. By the way, when some man of God comes by and tells you you're wrong, usually you ain't feeling very thankful right off the bat. And I go ahead and say there have been a few times where I've had to be rebuked, and there's been a few times in my life where I've needed a good old man of God to correct me, whether it be from the pulpit or whether it be in person. And in that moment, oftentimes, our reaction is to get angry. It's to get bitter. It's to get mad about what they've said to us. But I want to go ahead and say to you tonight from experience, when a man of God, I'm talking about somebody who knows the book, somebody who knows the Lord and is obedient to Him, when they will stand up and in love seek to correct you and change you, you do well to take heed to what they said. And I want to say tonight, I've at least lived a little bit long enough to be able to look back and say I'm thankful for a man of God to come my way and tell me the truth. And that's what happened to Amaziah. The Bible doesn't give us the name of this man. It simply said a man of God came by and he brought up a proposition to Amaziah. He said, "Amaziah, the Lord doesn't want you to use those old wicked soldiers from up there in Israel. He doesn't want you to align yourself with all the paganism and the idolatry that's going on up there in those northern tribes. And so here's what God has told you, Amaziah. If you'll get rid of those 100 soldiers from Israel and you'll fight the battle on your own, the Lord will give you the victory. But he said, but know this, if you choose not to, you can do that. God's not going to force you. But if you choose to go into battle with those 100,000 Israelite soldiers, he said, just understand that the Lord can give the victory, but the Lord can also cause you to lose. And you say, what did Amaziah do? Well, I believe Amaziah did the right thing. He got to thinking to himself, well, you know, the Lord's never let my daddy down, and the Lord never let David down or Solomon down. I mean, God's always been true when he makes a promise. And so he turned to that man of God and he said, you know, sir, I'll just go on and do what God wants me to do. But I've got one question. Do you look at his question there in verse number 9? He said, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Can I be honest with you? Years ago, the first time I read this text and I really dwelt on it and tried to digest it, can I tell you, I got to laughing when I read that. Because I want to give you the Morgan Lester updated version of this. You ready for it? This don't beat the King James Bible, but it'll help you. What he was saying is, I want to obey the Lord and I want to do what's right, but what about the money? Y'all with me tonight? He was going, but I've already paid up front. I've already given them the down payment. I mean, the men are already here. How am I going to get my money back? It's going to cost me if I do what God wants me to do. Now I want you to see what that man of God told him. That man of God turned to him and said, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Tonight I want to preach just very quickly on that last phrase that man of God used. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of much more than this. Much more than this. Now can I say first of all tonight, I see here the temptation of our flesh. You see, we all have the same temptation. We all go through the same struggle that Amaziah was going through there in that passage. When the Lord comes by your way and he begins to knock on your heart's door and he begins to call you to serve him and call you to live for him, when he begins to point out areas that need to change in your life, you know the first thing you and I get to saying? I'm talking to you, Christian. I ain't talking to the lost man tonight. I'm talking to saved, Bible-believing Christians, and we're all just as fleshly. We are all just as susceptible to temptation as that lost man is. Amen. We all give into it from time to time. You say, why? Well, I tell you what happens. The Lord comes in and he presents. He says, listen, if you'll just simply trust me, if you'll simply obey me, if you'll simply do what I've called you to do, I'll promise you the victory. I'll promise that I'll bless. I'll promise that I'll bear fruit from it. I'll promise that I'll give the increase. But you've got to go by faith. You've got to choose yourself whether you're going to live for the Lord or live for your own flesh. And about that time, can I tell you, friend, the flesh doesn't like to hear that one bit. That old fleshly, earthly nature that we all have doesn't like to hear God's call one bit. And about that time, it'll start to say the same thing it said to Amaziah. It'll start to say it will cost you to live for God. Amen? Hey, I tell you, friend, old Amaziah, he was worried it would cost him power for one thing. That's what some of y'all are worried about. The reason some of y'all won't step out into the water and go out there into that deep water for God and get in so far you couldn't get back home, the reason some of y'all won't go on for God is because you're scared to death about how many friends it'll cost you or how many family members it might cost you. You're afraid it'll cost you a paycheck, or it'll cost you some influence, or it might just cost your respectability. And you say to God, you say, Lord, I fear what it will cost. Lord, what will we do about the 100 talents of silver? Amen. You're counting the cost of whether you want to serve God or not. I tell you what, another thing he was worried about, he was not only worried about losing his power, he was worried about losing his protection. You know what was going on inside of Amaziah at that moment? Amaziah's flesh was rising up and saying, well, listen, if you do this, you've lost a whole lot of money. But I tell you that, you hadn't just lost the money. I mean, friend, you might get beaten the battle. And if you get beaten that battle, you know what's going to happen? You ain't going to have all these nice meals you've been able to have as king. You're not going to be able to have all the finest gold and the finest silver. You're not going to have all the most beautiful kingdom and the most beautiful palace. These things will be taken from you. Your protection will be gone if you give in and you don't keep these Israelite soldiers. Can I say that's what some of y'all are doing tonight? Some of y'all, you've said to God, Lord, I'd live for you, but Lord, it better not cost me anything. Lord, I live for you, but I've known some people to lose a child serving God. I've known some people to lose a spouse serving God. And Lord, if it's going to cost me something like that, I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. That's what some of you said. You know what you're saying? You're saying, Lord, I'm scared to serve you. I'm afraid of what I might lose. That's what Amaziah did. He was tempted by the lust of the flesh. He said to himself, it's going to cost me something if I have to live for the Lord. But can I say tonight, I not only see here the temptation of the flesh, but I also see a trial of our faith. You say, well, what's the trial of faith? Well, that's what he got to saying to himself after that question arose. See, about the time he said to that man of God, he said to him, what shall we do about that 100 of talents of silver that we've paid? And the man of God, I like what that man of God said. He said, friend, don't you worry one bit about losing that silver. Hey, don't you worry about losing your friends. Don't you worry about losing your influence. Don't you worry about losing that job. Don't you worry about losing some of those family members. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. And don't you imagine he heard those words and he got to thinking like some of y'all are thinking tonight. He thought, well, maybe, just maybe what that man said is true. Maybe I can live for God. Maybe I can follow the Lord. Maybe I can walk by faith and God will lead me and God will protect me and God will provide for me. Can I say to you tonight that I believe every one of us must come to the place where we get out of the battle of the temptation of the flesh and we get into the battle where it's a trial by faith. I don't know how well I'll be able to explain this to you tonight, but I want to try with the help of the Lord to do so. You see, the temptation of the flesh says this, it'll cost you. What will it cost me to live for God? But can I tell you what the trial of faith said? That trial of faith said, what will it cost me not to live for God? I believe for far too long as God's people, as Christian people, as Bible-believing people, I believe for far too long we have allowed ourselves, come on honey, sit up there, sit up and listen. For far too long we have allowed ourselves to be tempted by the devil to say, well, it'll cost too much to serve the Lord. It'll make me go too far to serve my God. When in fact what we ought to be asking is can I afford not to serve Him? Can I afford not to live for Him? Can I afford not to tell my loved ones about Christ? Can I afford not to support the work of missions? Can I afford not to be a part of the ministry and the work of the Lord? I believe that's the place old Amaziah came to. He had started out there in that place where his flesh was tempted and his flesh was rising up, and he finally got past it, but then he found another question to begin arising in his mind. And that question said, what will it cost me if I don't serve the Lord? You know, I think about it. I believe if Amaziah had been able to see the end of that battle, I don't believe he'd ever had to have a question in the first place. Y'all with me tonight? I believe if old Amaziah had ever come to the place, if he could have just shot forward in time just a little bit and been able to look and see how the battle would go. By the way, he won the battle because he obeyed the Lord. And I believe if he could have got up there and he could have seen what the Lord was going to do, can I tell you, I don't believe he'd had to ask a question one time. Isn't that some of y'all? I mean, isn't that me from time to time? You say, well, Lord, I'll trust you. I mean, Lord, I'll give sacrificially as long as I know how this thing's going to turn out. As long as I know the bill's going to get paid later on, then I'll give sacrificially. Can I tell you, that's one of the great dangers of the modern charismatic movement. This whole name it and claim it, sow your seed of faith sort of thing. Can I tell you what the danger of that is? It says, I'll give to you, God. I'll send in my money. I'll put it in the plate just so long as you bless me for it. That's not giving, friend. That's extortion. That's not sacrificial giving. That's not biblical giving. That's extortion in the name of God, in the name of the Lord. So what am I supposed to do? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to walk by faith. You're supposed to go in there and say, Lord, I don't know exactly how this thing's going to go, but I know in the end it's going to be all right. As you go knock on that door and tell that person about Christ, you have to tell yourself, Lord, I don't know whether they're going to get saved or not. I don't know whether they're going to slam the door in my face or not, but I'm going to go by faith and I'll let you give the answer. Lord, I know you'll work it out. Can I say something to y'all tonight? I'm about to move on. I'm about to be done. In serving the Lord, I'm going to tell y'all something. It is not all going to be fields of roses. It ain't all going to be tulips and rainbows and everything else. There's going to be hardship. That Bible said, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There will be persecution. There will be trials. There will be loss that you will suffer. There is going to be some pain and some sickness and some death and some loneliness if you choose to serve Jesus Christ. But can I tell you the good part? I don't know how today's battle is going to go. I don't even know how tomorrow's battle is going to go, but I know how the battle ends. I know how the war ends. And in the end of this thing, I know that what God has to offer and what God is doing is far better than any old thing this world has to offer. I know that what God is doing through the suffering and through the trial and through the pain, I know that the God I serve, He is working out something wonderful through it all. And I know in the end, whether it be in this life or whether it be in the next, I know that the Lord is going to win. I tell you, we sing that old song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Yes, I'd rather be led by His nail-scarred hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I believe that's the place Amaziah had to come to. And that's the place you and I are going to have to come to if we're going to live for God. We're going to have to stop saying to ourselves, Lord, what will it cost me to serve You? And we're going to begin to have to ask ourselves, what will it cost me if I don't serve the Lord? Can I say to you tonight, friend, I've seen here in this passage the trial of our faith. I've seen here the temptation of our flesh. But I want to say last of all that I see here the treasure of our Father. You see, in the end of that thing, I look at old Amaziah, and with only his 300,000 soldiers, didn't even need the 100,000 Israelites. You say, why? Because God and one man is a majority. I don't care how many people are against you. I don't care what the devil throws your way. I don't care if all the devils and all the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, I don't care if they all amass against us tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? God and one man is a majority. And I believe that's what Amaziah learned. He learned that victory does not come through numbers. Victory does not come through monetary gain. Victory does not come through having large tanks and big guns. The victory only comes through the Lord. I believe you could ask Amaziah after that battle. If you said to him, Amaziah, Was it worth it to lose those 100 talents of silver, but to have the victory through the Lord? I believe Amaziah would tell you time and time and time again, oh yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It was more than worth it. The Lord is able to give much more than this. I want to tell you tonight, friend, I'll be done. We're going to get ready to have a time of invitation. I want to tell you something that I've learned in serving the Lord. And I've not served Him as long as some of you. I've not served Him as long as some pastors. And I'll be honest with you, I've not served Him near as faithful as I ought to. But I've still learned some things in serving the Lord. See, I look back at those old days. I look back at those early days when God had called me to preach. Can I tell you something? You've never been so tempted by the devil as you have when you've surrendered to serving the ministry. I'm going to be honest with you. You have never experienced temptation. You have never experienced what the devil can throw at you till you've said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. That's about the time the old devil will get right after you. That's about the time your flesh will rise up and give you every excuse in the world for not serving the Lord. But I want to tell you something I've learned over the past decade or so of serving Jesus. I don't miss any parties that my old buddies used to go to. I don't miss the late nights. I don't miss the hangovers. I don't miss any of that stuff that I saw other people my age doing. You say, why? Can I tell you why? And I mean this. I'm not trying to be better. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. It's only by the grace of God I am what I am. It's only by His grace I'm standing here preaching to you tonight. But can I tell you why I don't have to miss those things? And why I don't have to look back and say, well, you know, I guess it was pretty boring serving Jesus all those years. Can I tell you why I don't ever have to say that? Because I've learned something. The Lord is able to give much more than this. And there is nothing this world can give you that beats going home and laying down your head on the pillow and having a clean conscience. There's nothing this world or the old devil can provide you with that would be better with having a wife and children who know Christ and are serving Him. There's nothing this world can give that can beat the joyful spirit that only comes through living for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can be sent our way that is finer or greater than having a good Bible-believing Baptist church to go to. There is nothing this world can afford us or this devil can tempt us with that could possibly be greater than having a Savior I can talk with and I can go with and I can fellowship with all along life's journey. Can I say something to you tonight? And I'm done. I promise you I'm done. Don't settle for anything less than what God has called you to be. We're living in a generation. This ain't even in the message. This just added on. We're living in a generation today where complacent Christianity has reigned. Casual Christianity is reigning. I'll go to church on Sunday morning. I might even show up again on Sunday night. Hey, and if I'm having a particularly rough week and I really feel like I need God's blessing, I might just even show up on Wednesday like some kind of crazy fanatic. Amen. I'm being sarcastic. And we're living in the generation that says, I want to enjoy myself because it's my time and my money and mine to do with what I want to do with it. And yet, Lord, I'll leave you a little crumb here and there when I feel like it. You know, if I get a little something extra. Lord, I'll give you a little crumb. I'll give you a little bit of my time. And maybe every now and then, if I get particularly bored and I decide to set my phone down for 5 minutes, I might pick up the Bible and read me a few verses. And well, you know, Lord, I've tried out telling people about Christ. It didn't go so well. So that maybe that's just not particularly what I'm called to do. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what all those things are. That is the voice, that is the excuse of a casual, comfortable Christian. And God save us from it. God deliver us from it. I tell you what, friend, I want to be sold out to the Lord. I'm your pastor, at least most of you all in here. I'm your pastor. And can I say what my prayer for you is? Lord, that they'd get so fanatical, that they just go so far off in the deep end serving you, that they'd get so far, I mean, beyond their depth, they could never swim back to the shore. And Lord, you will help them to surrender completely. Lord, help me to surrender completely to your will, to what you would have me to be, what you would have me to do, where you would have me to go. I tell you what I want to get across to you tonight is, Lord, help us to realize the question is not, what will it cost me to live for Jesus? The question is, what will it cost me at the judgment seat of Christ? What will it cost me in rewards? What will it cost that lost man who's my neighbor? What will it cost if I don't serve the Lord? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. I pray you'll take the message, use it to stir our hearts. Use it to revive us again. And Lord, maybe there's some Christian, Lord, I believe there has to be in a crowd this size. Lord, maybe some Christian here who's just grown complacent, just satisfied with being comfortable, satisfied with just everything this world has afforded them. Lord, they don't even realize that you're able to give them much, much more than this, much greater than this. Lord, may they realize it tonight. May you let them know what a blessing it is to live the Christian life. And oh Lord, may we surrender to do it. Father, I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bless now in this time of invitation. And it's for His sake we ask it. Amen and amen. As we sing tonight,